Welcome to the Dads on the Fly podcast. I'm Joshua Simmons. Dads on the Fly is brought to you by Trout Routes, the number one mapping resource for trout anglers. Turtlebox Audio, the loudest, most rugged outdoor speaker. And Catch Cam Nets, where you can build your own net.
And I'm Caleb Simmons. Thanks for joining with me and my brother as we discuss fly fishing, fatherhood, and faith, and the intermingling of it all. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 128 of the Dads on the Fly podcast. I'm Caleb Simmons, as always, with my brother Joshua Simmons. Joshua, how are you, man?
Doing great, man. Just excited for today's conversation with a guy we've kind of met. I first heard his story and just wanted to have him on the podcast. It's a perfect guest for today's show, man.
Yeah, excited. So we're really excited to welcome to the podcast Mr. Ty Walker of Smoke and Chimneys. Ty's got a really great story. He's going to tell it here in just a few moments, but it's a story of just taking his family and trying something new and learning something new, and it's really cool. So if you're into learning all about trout and exactly kind of how they grow and how they thrive in the areas that they do, you're going to really enjoy this episode with Ty. And Ty also talks a little bit about what it's like to learn how to raise farm fish, but he does it in a very interesting way. So really excited for everyone to hear today's episode with Mr. Ty Walker of Smoke and Chimneys.
Yeah, Caleb, just so excited to finally make this happen. I think Ty and I had started messaging a while back, maybe over a year ago, about just what he did and kind of the coolness of where he lives and what he's able to do with his trout hatchery there. And he's also an avid fly fisherman and gets to do that some. But I think he tells just so many great stories about being a dad and being a family guy and just taking a leap of faith. And it's such a cool story. We really want to thank Ty for joining us, and hope everybody really enjoys this one.
Yeah, I think they will. So if you want to learn more about Ty, or if you want to check out some of his farm, or if you even want to get your hands on some amazing trout, you can go to his website at smokeandchimneys.com. That's smokeinchimneys.com, and you can go learn a little bit more about him as well. Well, Josh, we're excited about today's episode. I want to thank everyone for continuing to support the Dads on the Fly podcast. This is why we continue to do what we do. Your messages, your emails, your reviews, they mean a lot. And so if you haven't yet, we would love to ask you to go over and wherever you are listening to this right now, give us a rating or review. Whatever podcast platform you're on, shoot us a rating, shoot us a review. That helps get the word out about the podcast. But also, if you are listening and you think you've got a buddy who might enjoy this episode, send it to them. You can share it right from your podcast platform, shoot it to them in a text and say, hey, I think you might like this. Give it a chance. So we'd love to continue to get the word out about this show as it allows us, as we continue to grow, it allows us to be able to do more for dads and for this Dads on the Fly community. So thanks everyone for checking it out. And without further ado, let's dive in now to our conversation with Mr. Ty Walker from Smoke and Chimneys. Well, welcome to the Dads on the Fly podcast, Mr. Ty Walker of Smoke and Chimneys. Ty, really appreciate you taking some time to hang out with us tonight.
Heck yeah, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Ty, this has been a long time in the making. We have connected, you and I, via, I think we started texting each other, Instagram messaging, after I heard about you on another podcast, and was just started looking into what you guys do there, and we're so excited about it. So let's start. This is going to be a little bit of a different start. We'll get into maybe some of the fly fishing later, but let's talk about what it is that you do at Smoke and Chimneys, and then we'll kind of go the backstory to how it all started. But what is Smoke and Chimneys for people who have never heard about you?
Okay, so we're a revitalized 1930s trout hatchery where we raise trout for table fare, restaurants, retail stores, and direct to consumer.
Okay, so when you say 1930s revitalized, I want you to tell our listeners, I've heard it, the story of how you found this place.
Okay, so the facility we're at was built in the 1930s by the Department of the Interior. It was during like the kind of post-Great Depression, FDR kind of, you know, rebuild America type projects. It was operated by the federal government for a while. Then the state operated it until about the 1980s. And then it was sold onto the private market, and it was a private trout hatchery for some odd years, changed hands a bunch of times. It was a total God thing how we got there. We were farming my grandparents' farm about an hour and a half from where the trout hatchery is located. Yeah, I just got a call out of the blue one day. My friend was like, Ty, there's this trout hatchery up in Newcastle, you know, be a great fit, come check it out. And I mean, my first question was like, where's Newcastle? Like, I had to Google it, didn't even like, had never even heard of it. And then immediately my wife was like, absolutely not. You're not going to get anything done. You're just going to be fishing all the time. And I was like, well, that may or may not be true. But so I went up there, and at the time we were living in like a single wide trailer, and we had our first kid, and this place had like a 3-bedroom house. You know, it was built in like 1980 something. But once she heard about that, you know, her ears kind of perked up a little bit, you know. So yeah, dude, it was just, you know, it was a big deal to like leave the family farm and move to this like abandoned trout hatchery, and where everybody was like, Ty, this is so dumb. Do not do this. Like, you can't even get the water on, you know? And so it took about like kind of 6 weeks to kind of like get it all worked out. But me and my wife went up there, and I remember I got a 1989 FJ62, you know, Land Cruiser, and I drove that up there with her one afternoon. We were just there on the property, and we were just like prayed. We're like, God, like, this is such a leap of faith for us. Like, if this is you, like, we just need that like confirmation, you know, just in our spirit that this is like where we need to be. And you know, some of those moments, like, you don't really get a clear answer, but you have like a piece, you know, there's just like a piece on it. And we just felt like, dude, this is where we need to be. So we, you know, packed up everything in the kitchen sink and moved to Newcastle. So, yeah. Now,
when you said not sure how to turn the water on, isn't there like a cool story, like how you found
it? Yeah, dude, it's super cool. So we, before we like got it all worked out to be there, I was like, dude, I got to find somebody that like knows something about this property, because this is far beyond, you know, what I'm capable of understanding. Anyway, I heard of this guy that used to work there. And so I like dug around and called people and finally got where he worked. And I called up and I was like, hey, you know, my name's Ty Walker, blah, blah, blah. Look, I'll buy you lunch. I'll pick you up. I'll take you home. Like, you know, begged and pleaded, you know, please show me what's going on up there. So he was a pretty friendly guy. And he's like, pick me up on this day at this time. I'm like, okay, great. So I pick him up. Older guy, pretty like major, like back problems, like kind of a, you know, kind of hunched over. But shows up with like a pipe wrench. It's like 4 feet long. So that gets in my vehicle. I'm like, I don't know this guy. It's just the old man in a pipe wrench, you know? And I'm like, okay. So anyway, we get up there and like, no one's like mowed or weeded. I mean, the grass is like, I mean, it's like up to your knees, you know? I'm like, okay, here we go. So he's like digging around and we're trying to talk about it. And he's like, you know, I'm looking for this valve used to be here. And he's like digging around in the weeds and he like turns this valve and like water just starts like shooting out. And I just remember seeing the water shooting out. I'm like, where is it coming from? I mean, like one valve was like, you know, over 100 gallons a minute, you know? And it was just like, I think in that moment, just like the light bulb kind of went off, you know, that, you know, that moment when you like get to the stream and you're just there and it's like before you're rigged up, you're just like something about the sound of like the running water, you know, it just like, it's just something about it, you know? And even I think of that verse, you know, it's like his voice is like the sound of many waters, you know? And I just remember standing there, like hearing the sound of the water, seeing it. And I was like, wow, like it really is a trout hatchery. I mean, it's running water, like fish can really live here, you know? So, yeah, actually, the guy, Jerry, he's not in very good health at all. And it was really cool. A couple weeks ago, he gave me like one of his like bamboo rods from like the 1950s. So
awesome.
Yeah, man, just like a memento. And, Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't be there if it wouldn't for him. Yeah, because I guess after that moment, I felt like I got someone that kind of knows what's going on here, and I felt good enough to, you know, move there. So,
you convince your wife, you move to Newcastle, you get there. Do you have any idea at this point how to
run? Dude, the first time I went there, like, we had, like, been there, like, a week, and there was, like, this little restaurant called Pine Top, and I'm like, dude, they got fried pickles, baby. Like, I'm home. You're like, I could live here. Trout, fried pickles. I mean, dude. Go ahead. What?
No, dude, so going into it, I mean, did you have any idea how to run a trout hatchery? Like,
I mean, and too bad fly fishing, like, has nothing to do with, like, a trout hatchery. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So let's get into that. So let's kind of back up a little bit here. You have loved fly fishing for a very long time. Is that correct? Like, before the hatchery?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean.
So what was that like? How'd you get into fly fishing?
I fly fished with my dad, and then I moved to, I lived in California for a while in Oregon. So I fished a lot when I was there, like a lot of I just had like a single three weight, you know, cause like that's all you'd ever really need, you know, like everything's like pretty small, like mountain stream type stuff. And then we moved to Oregon. We did a lot of fishing like on the Mackenzie, and I had the drift boat out there. So, taught my wife to row so I could fish. It was great, dude.
That's pretty smart.
Had a lot just for like the stream for fly fishing for a super long time, you know, and, it was really cool because the first day I went up there to the hatchery, you know, I walked over to the stream, you know, and like I see like, you know, three or four rainbows, like wild rainbows in the creek there. And I'm like, dude, this is it, dude. I mean, just to see a couple wild fish, and I mean, wild fish are hard to come by. I don't care what state you're in, where you are. I mean, it's a wonder there's a fish anywhere, you know? So to feel like I have a way here that I could potentially provide for my family, like, and like, you know, I can wet a line and catch a wild fish. Like, I mean, I don't know, dude. It was pretty, kind of a no-brainer.
Pretty sweet little, like, pretty sweet gig right there.
So you buy this property. How big is the property?
It's 4 acres.
So you got a 4-acre property.
So it's not very big. Yeah, there's 5 concrete raceways, 7 ponds. Anyway, on our website, you can kind of see the whole setup, but yeah, it's 5, like 30 foot by like 4 foot concrete raceways. And then there's 7 total earth ponds, with all like packed shale bottom. I mean, you can walk in it. There's no mud. You know, like once a year we'll bring the little mini excavator in there and clean them all out, but
but what kind of sets Smoke and Chimneys apart, which I find so cool, you know, it was built in the 30s, and so there's no like pipes and, you know, pressure gauges running all that water. It's all gravity fed, correct?
Dude, 100% gravity fed. There's no pumps. The water runs. The setup is amazing. I mean, to think that you got that much pressure, and you know, with just 8 feet of fall, you can have, I mean, you can run a trout hatchery. It really is amazing. Like the hatcheries now, like, I don't see how they do. I mean, with all the different technology and, you know, everyone's got 3 or 4 iPads walking around. I mean, I don't know, man. That just seems so far from like where we should be going. You know, we should be like trying to make things simpler, not like, you know, we need like Elon Musk to help us like raise trout or something, you know? I mean,
so you said raise trout. When you got there, you had never raised trout, right? So like, did you read a book?
YouTube? I had, well, it's funny because I was like YouTube and stuff, and I mean, there's like nothing online about like small scale, like aquaculture, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. You know, there's stuff about aquariums, you know, there's more stuff about like real weird fish in your house. Like, then like, I don't know what was up with that, but that was super frustrating because I immediately felt kind of out of control. And I think, I mean, I still feel like that to some degree, you know, I mean, there's always, you're always trying to learn more about trout, you know, and it's kind of an endless sort of thing. So I guess to answer your question, I just finally like got on eBay and I was like, cause I couldn't find anything online. And I was like, I just got to find a book, good old fashioned book, you know? And, yeah, there was this little book is like $20 or something, you know, raising trout, you know, and it was written in the 1930s. So I got the book and I'm reading it and I'm like, dude, everything in the book is like making sense because this guy's setup was like the same setup as mine. Like this dude had built like wooden boxes that water was like, he was raising trout in like wooden boxes. Raceways. And I read the book and it came in, it kind of just gave me like a framework for kind of the process from like hatching eggs all the way to like getting a fish to like a mature harvestable size. And in that book, it was really interesting that like stocking like catchable fish, like 1 pound fish, like 12, 14, 16 inches. That's like a modern thing within the past 50 years. Like in like the 1930s and prior, back from like the 18, like teens upward, they only stocked like fish that were not bigger than an inch because the whole point was they wanted the stream to raise the fish and then them catch them, not like put mature fish in there, you know? And then it really kind of blurs the lines. Like, dude, if you put a fish in, a hatched fish in a stream and it lives its whole life there, I mean, is that a stock fish? Like, what is a stock fish? You know, I don't know. It just made me think about trout differently, you know, right? I mean, I don't know. I won't start talking about fly fishing, but anyway, go ahead.
No, I mean, you can.
We're going to start talking about fly fishing.
I just think, I mean, it's just, it's such a funny scene, man. It's like, you have the like catch and release crowd and like, they're better than everyone else. Then you have the people that like catch wild fish and, you know, catch their limit and eat the fish and they're the bad people. And it's just, it's such a black and white dynamic just within like fishing. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to me where I'm like, hey dude, like I can gut and clean 500 fish like on a Monday and then turn around and I'm doing stream improvements. You know, we're doing catch and release in our stream. I mean, the two sort of ideals can like live together. And the whole thing is like, dude, if you don't have hatcheries, like then you're putting pressure on like the wild streams. You know what I'm saying? So everyone like gets all, everyone fly fishing is like, gets all irritated at like put and take. But it's like, dude, if like people aren't doing put and take, they're going to be catching the wild fish. So like, you haven't even thought about it more than 10 minutes. You just want something to be irritated about. I don't mean to go off. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, like, how about like, think about it a little bit. Like, what's bad? What's better for the wild fish?
Well, that's what you've said on our show before is, like, we have hatchery supported waters here in North Carolina. Like, that's the point of those waters. It's for folks who want to catch fish and eat fish. That's kind of the entire theme behind it, like you said. And then you have your waters that have wild fish that you do have a limit on them. Some people still catch and eat, and that's fine. But and some people say this, I'm with you. We do a lot of catch and release fishing. Like, I can't remember the last time I've caught Nate trout. I love trout. I got a buddy who has a hatchery right up the road that I get trout from when I want to eat them. And that's the kind of, I mean, that's the fish I eat, but I'm not a get, somebody said it, I think it was one of the guests we had on recently. I mean, it is a blood sport, regardless of how wonderful you think you're doing there. Like, you're still hooking and catching fish.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just think at the end of the day, like, more of all the back and forth is more like about people's egos, and it's about them personally, other than like the fish themselves. I think that's what's frustrating to me, you know?
I agree with you.
Like, I would never, like, I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I would never, like, enjoy or want to eat a wild fish, you know? But me and my hatchery, I get a platform to, like, teach people about, like, our endangered, like, trout streams. And I get have a platform to teach people about, like, just trout as an animal. And, you know, in eating trout and why, like, supporting hatcheries. And, you know, it's like, it's one of those things. Sometimes you got to eat something to save it, you know, and yeah, the pressure. Sure. So I just think there's room for both, you know?
Yeah. Like in everything, yeah, there's a lot more nuance and it's needs to be a little less black and white in a lot of different things. But so you mentioned this a little bit, Ty, in learning about raising these trout in your hatchery, it's taught you a lot about just the life of not only those trout, but of wild trout as well. And so I want to get into this a little bit because I find this extremely fascinating. What has learning how to raise up these trout from an egg all the way to 14 to 16 inches, what has that taught you about not only those trout, but the trout, the wild trout that are living out there in that river right near your property?
Dude, honestly, man, like, raising hatchery fish and gutting and cleaning tens of thousands of fish has taught me, like, when I go out fly fishing and I catch a wild fish, dude, I look at that thing totally different. That there is, it is a miracle. It is a miracle that fish is even alive in there. You got to think, dude, a little hatch trout is this big. It's about a quarter of an inch. And can you imagine that thing living in a big river and not getting eaten by anything for a year? And you got to think, dude, I mean, my fish get to about a pound in about 14 months. Dude, a wild fish, I mean, if you catch a 12-inch trout, that thing's around 2 years old. Like, it's dodged the herons, the otters, the eagles, the ospreys, the raccoons, the other fishermen, other fish. And then, like, you've caught that thing, you know? It's, yeah, it really makes you want to protect the wild fish even more, honestly. Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure. And you happen to live in a place where you are using these fish. And I want you to talk for a minute about how kind of that journey of, you got this place, you started learning how to raise fish. We didn't go too detailed in that, which is okay. But at some point, man, you really got, I mean, you've garden and gun, Filson, all of a sudden things like kind of blow up for you. And that's really helped you from a business standpoint, correct? Like, what you
do now? Yeah, no, for sure. Virginia,
mainly for Virginia or?
Yeah, so I guess to start, so once we got there, we were there about 2 years before we, like, sold the first fish. I was trying to figure out how to raise the fish. I was working in Roanoke at the time, so I was just trying to do the trout thing, like, you know, before work, after work, weekends, to try to figure out how to get it going. You know, it's funny, I wanted to, like, hatch some fish, you know, and I called, like, one of the big hatcheries, and I was like, hey, I want to buy some eggs, and they're like, well, how many you want? And I was like, oh, I don't know, 100 eggs or something. They were like, ha, 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 like, you got to buy 20,000 eggs, bud. That's, like, the minimum order. I'm like, dude, I don't want to spend $1,500 on trout eggs that I don't even know what I'm going to do with once I get them, you know? And it was just like, dude. So then I went, this other hatchery, I kind of became friends with this guy a couple hours from me. And I remember I went down there and he was like, dude, who is this guy? He like gave me some eggs in like a bag, like a Ziploc baggie, and was just like, here you go, kid. You know, so I took those back and, you know, stressed about those things for, you know, a month until they hatched. But just seeing a trout hatch out of an egg, I mean, it's nuts, dude. Definitely makes you appreciate just God's design and everything. So anyway, the barriers to entry were phenomenal between like just the eggs and then like feed, dude. Like you can't get trout feed at Tractor Supply and buy one bag. Like if you want trout feed, you got to buy a pallet. Pallet's like $2,500. You know, so it's just like, dude, like. So I spent the first year with like grazing fish, and I was kind of like doing some stocking and stuff for people because we hadn't figured out the processing. But pretty soon I was like, man, like it's a lot. I mean, it's like turns into like real money, you know? I think my goal the whole time though was to like be able to process the fish, you know? And that took about a year of going back and forth with the state to be able to just get a facility kind of up and going to be able to process the fish, you know? So that took a year. So once we got that up and this is will be our third season, but once we got the processing facility okayed, then we started like gutting and cleaning the fish and, you know, talking to restaurants. I was like working and then full time. And then my days off, I would just like put fish in a cooler, dude, and just like drive to restaurants and like try to meet with the chef and talk about the product. And I mean, dude, I went to like 100 restaurants in like a year. I mean, it was just one of those, like I was spending so much money like on the trout hatchery and, you know, we spent a year getting the processing and I was like running out of like savings I had, and it was like a watershed moment where it was like, dude, we're like, we either gotta like dial way back or like dial way up, you know? So yeah, man, just kind of went for it. I mean, it was kind of those like, we're here, I got no plan B, like, you know, we just gotta make it happen.
Burn the ships.
Yeah, dude. Oh, they were burned.
And keep going. So, yeah. You know, you found all these restaurants, Ty, and you started, processing fish there. There's something about what you do that sets, like, your product apart. What would you say that is? And, like, why is it that the fish that you...
I think it's a couple things. And a couple things I can, like, take credit for and a couple I can't. I can't take credit for the water quality. Yeah. Like, and it's funny, dude, because... Thursday, we're doing our trial run of carbonating and canning the water.
Wow.
It's called Wild Water, guys.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I mean, in my house, there's no well. It's the spring water. Wow. I mean, there's a line that comes into the crawl space, and there's a little jet pump that shoots the water like up into the faucet.
So you're drinking the water, basically.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't,
your trout.
Dude, if you can't drink that water, I mean, what can you drink?
That's awesome.
You know, I mean, that's going to be our tagline. Yeah.
That is.
So anyway, yeah, the water. Well, dude, it's funny. So the guy that used to run it, like I was saying, we get up there and he gets all the raceways on and he just has like a water bottle. He just like puts another thing and just drinks some big old cup of water. And I was like, oh, okay. That really changed my thing too. You know, we talk about like, filtered water and,
yeah.
And it's like, dude, this water has been filtered through like millions of miles of like underground aquifers. Yeah. Like how much more filtered, like, again, I don't know. It just kind of changed my perspective. See, I've been drinking the spring water. I mean, I drink right out of the raceways. Yeah, I have for years. So one, the water quality. So it's really cool. It's like a limestone aquifer. So the water is like a natural pH of 8. You know, so it's like totally alkaline, really high in calcium. Yeah, the water, it's like this beautiful, like blue kind of tint to it. So I can't take, that's definitely, farm fish has a bad rap because the fish tastes like a fish tank. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, but you're going to get the fish tank from, that's like, this sounds bad, but there's so many dissolved solids in the water that all those microbes, that gets into the flesh of the fish. So when you eat it, it kind of tastes like that kind of fish tank, fish food, kind of cat food vibes. Yeah. That's because they're recycling the water over and over and over. You know, that's nasty. But it's funny. And somebody was like, commented, and they're like, you know, I've been studying like the RAS systems and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm like, dude, that's the problem, bro. Like, that's why farm fish, farm trout, dude, you look at a printout of a seafood wholesaler, trout is on the bottom there with catfish. Like, it's not a soft, sought after, sexy product, like grouper or snapper or salmon. I'm like, dude, it's because of the practices creates a product that sucks. Yeah. Anyway, I'll shut up about that. But so A, water quality, that's like paramount. Two is like, gets more into the management, like crowding. Like, there's some hatcheries, they use like liquid oxygen. That allows you to like pack more fish in like one area. And like, I don't care if it's people or pigs or chickens. I mean, you start crowding stuff really heavy, like you're going to have health issues, you know? So we don't crowd any of the fish because, you know, and this is something else I want to say. You look at farm salmon, you never see a whole farm salmon, do you? No, you just see a fillet. That's because the nose is half rubbed off. Looks like it got off the black pearl, you know? It's got an eye patch and a peg leg. Fins tore all up. But, dude, it's genius, bro. Cut off all the sin and just send them a little piece that you can't even see what it is, and that's what they eat.
Yeah.
That's why, like, when I show up with a whole fish, like, I have nothing to hide behind. That's a whole animal, and it's lived for 14 months. And if I can grow some for 14 months and it looks pristine, then that's indicative of the quality of the product. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
That would be, I'd say the water quality and then just the overall like management is, that's really what's going to elevate farmed fish. Yeah.
Well, just from seeing it, haven't tasted it yet, but that's definitely on something on the to-do list. Yeah, we'll have to get up there and taste some of that fish. But just from seeing what you've built, man, and kind of following your story through your social channels and connecting with you, I think I know the answer to this question, but I want you to really speak to it to our listeners. What do you contribute just those blessings? And I think, there's three things on your website, and one of them is that prayer. And I want you to speak into the how much that meant and how much that is just kind of your business model through what you've built to be, you know, what you are today.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think just like when we started the whole thing, I wanted to just like be exactly like who we were, like good, bad, and ugly, you know, and like the farming aspect and the food aspect and like the prayer aspect and really just trying to pursue the Lord, you know, and let him like mold us and shape us and change us. And, I mean, the whole thing was like, and even today, dude, I mean, even like every month, it's just like, dude, it's like such a journey of faith. Like we still don't have like a plan B, you know, and there's been so many moments where it's like, God, dude, if you don't show up here, like, Like there was one point I needed like, I mean, I had about 50,000 fish there and like I needed like a pallet of feed and a pallet of feed's like, you know, $2,000 or $3,000. I like didn't have it. And I was like, dude, I got all these fish here. Like, what am I going to do? You know? And I just remember standing in my little prayer or my little like feed building. And I was just like, God, like you brought us this far. Like, just please help me get some fish food. I mean, it sounds like a silly prayer, but when you got, you know, all your everything riding on it. And the next day I had a friend call me. He's like, hey man, he's in the aquarium business. And anyway, he does like food for like PetSmart and he's a big deal, but he called me and he's like, hey man, like, I got a pallet of trout food down here, but it's got like a bunch of like bugs and stuff in it. And like, I'm going to throw it all away. Like you want it? Like, I was like, I mean, I just like broke down. I'm like, dude, like you can't make this stuff up, dude. And I've just seen time after time after time of like, just God showing up, you know, and it's really cool. In the past couple months, we like opened our prayer room here, like up on the mountain. We do like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 5 to 6 PM prayer. A lot of times it's just like me and my family, you know, but it's like, I really want to, that's what's kept me like sane, you know. In college, I like suffered majorly from like major, like depression, like suicidal thoughts. I was just in such a bad place. And I just remember being like, dude, God, if you're like real and like the Bible's real, like I need you to help me. I'm going down, you know, and wasn't overnight and it wasn't like any flashes of lightning, but I just remember this thing just like lifted, you know? So for me, it's just so deeply personal. Like I couldn't even begin to like separate the two, if that makes sense, you know? And at first I felt like, you know, we might like take some flack for like the farm food prayer thing. And we have like on occasion or two, but it's kind of been like people've like really kind of like rallied around it, you know? And it's just been so encouraging to just like meet other believers that our messages like resonate with them. And I don't know, man. I just really feel like God's doing something, you know? Yeah. Like there's this really cool like back to the land movement, you know, of like young families and believers, and I just, it's very encouraging to see and be a part of.
Yeah. So, you know, part of like your vision there at Smoke and Chimneys, like from your website, it says your vision is a movement of people connected with their food and united with their land and their creator. So how is what you're doing helping families and people be able to do that?
Yeah. So one aspect, which is really like our ultimate kind of dream and vision, I've spent the past like 5 years. We're almost done with it. We're going to go to print this year, but it's a 12-week internship curriculum. It's called Spirit and Soil. And it's about teaching people practical like farm skills in the context of like really like connecting like with God, the creator, like in his creation, which is like the original prayer room, you know.
That's
cool. You know, it's really interesting. It like the turn of the century, like 1905, like over 90% of all the jobs in the United States were agricultural based, you know. So it's like our whole history as a country has been working outside, connecting with God through like what he's made. And we've largely like lost that. And I've just had a major passion to kind of see that come back in a structured environment where people can really pick up the skills of that. And then, you know, once they leave, kind of apply it to their own life, like in their own way.
That's super cool. I love that.
Yeah. One other thing before I want to transition into some of your fishing. But for folks who want to come up, you have some opportunities now for people to just come see the farm, also stay on the farm. like what a cool kind of family trip or day trip, it seems like, maybe even overnight trip. Talk about some things that you can do on the farm. I mean, I think it's really cool. You've got the ponds and that kind of thing. So just talk about that for folks that may be in the area.
Yeah. So we just got like our Airbnb kind of off the ground, but we're booking it just through our own website. Dude, we got it on Airbnb and like got like 3 like 1-star reviews. I'm like, this is bull. What is going on? Someone's like, the fridge isn't cold enough. 1-star. Anyway, I was like, dude, I was so pissed, dude. Like, you spent all this time and energy and like getting a bunch of 1-star reviews. I was like, dude, forget it. Like, it's a cabin, dude. People are like, dude, there's some like ants. I'm like, yeah, dude, it's a cabin.
In the woods, yeah.
I don't know, dude. I just was like, I can't. I got enough.
Yeah.
I got enough problems. I can't add this to my plate. Anyway, it's super dope, dude. Like cowhide rugs and dude, it's got, I mean, heating and air. And anyway, I'm digressing. But yeah, smokingchimneys.com. You can book the cabin. It's right. I mean, it's literally, you can see the ponds like from the cabin. My wife's dairy cows are there. But yeah, man, the cabin is on like 5 acres. The creek's right there. Yeah. And you can come to kind of see the whole trout process, the trout, you know, see the hatchery building and the ponds and the raceways, feed the fish. Yeah, it's only about 40 minutes off the interstate. So, yeah. And then we have our hatchery tour and taste, our big event where, we do a big like tour of the hatchery. We got live music, like, our chef Ashton is there doing like ridiculous food. Last year we like smoked a whole lamb. You know, we've done trout tacos before. Yeah, so that's I think May 19th. We do 1 spring, 1 fall, but tickets for that are on our website too.
Super cool, man. So people can come check out what you're doing there. They can come see the property. Sounds like there's opportunities to fish there as well. Which
that's
is
what I was
going to
get
cool.
into. So let's just transition. That's where I was going. So there's also some, I mean, you fish. So there's also some great fishing around your area, correct? I mean, for you.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. The National Forest is right there. So there's like some wild brook trout, which are a lot of fun. And then, yeah, we're working on like the section that's along the cabin. We've done some stream improvements and we're working on getting like just a catch and release kind of situation going on there. But dude, I still fish the pond on occasion, man. I mean, dude, if you want to get your dry fly hook set, if you want to get dialed in, dude, practice, I mean, right? It's yeah, bro. Heck yeah.
Kids love
that. Oh yeah, dude. My kids have like a little 2-weight and they get out there and rip some lip. Yeah, it's cool.
So now do you get to, you know, you're in the midst of this business, Tyle, but do you get to go wet a line on your own every now and then as well?
Yeah, I do. I used to try to go, me and my dad, we floated the Smith River, which is about an hour south of us, I guess like 2 weeks ago. So, but dude, it's been brutally low for, I mean, ever since probably from August to like probably around, I mean, Christmas almost. Yeah, it's been low. It's been tough for the freestone stuff last year. So, yeah, I do get to get out. I actually texted my dad today. I want to try to go this week. The water's up. I'm like, dude, we got to go fish now.
Our water's up too.
We're in the same boat on that. Like, yeah. We haven't had water for dude, 5 months, and now we're finally getting water. So
I'm like, dude, get the Goldies out. Let's go. I love it. You know?
I love it.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to you that you do that? You have this business and your family's so involved in it. I know your wife's very involved. You got 3 kids you were talking to us off air about. And, you know, this is Dads on the Fly. And we like to make sure and talk to everybody about how important it is to be a dad to that group, and you're doing it through showing them, man, you're showing them all kinds of stuff. You're showing them nature, you're showing them conservation, you're showing like this history and also this leadership and, you know, you having this small business. What does that mean to you to be able to do that for them?
Yeah, honestly, man, the whole thing, and I was thinking about this the other day, but I thought about just smoking chimneys and the fish and all the stuff, and I just really had this realization that, like, all this, like, it's not even about the fish or the business or whatever. It's all been about, like me, like, in the sense of putting pressure on me in like so many areas where I've had to like grow up or really like deal with stuff, like just, you know, like managing my emotions, you know, like, dude, it's there's a million more easy ways to make money other than doing what I'm doing. I mean, there's definitely days where I'm like, dude, I just need to go get a job. This is ridiculous. Like, this is ridiculous. But I look back over the past 5 years and I've really, I mean, like, I'm a different person than I was, you know? So for all the difficulty, it's really, you know, it's just forced me to like, just become more of a leader, like become someone that's more like led by the spirit, become someone that's more like, just trusting like God and his purposes more so than my strength. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but you kind of get where I'm going. Like, just the nature of like the business and just the stress of it has really, because I have days where I'm like, I want my kids to grow up and be like, wow, like, being an entrepreneur is like cool, not like, dang, dad was like stressed out all the time and tripping out over this, and you know, but like, that's my responsibility. Like, it's my job to manage my own emotions and deal with my own stuff. And like, I feel like the business and all this stuff has been like a big mirror for like me to like see myself. It's been a magnifier. You know how like marriage is like, you know, it brings out like the worst and the best and like everything in between.
Yeah.
And it's all in you. It was all there. It's just certain situations like make you react in certain ways. And I think for me with my kids, like, it's my job to create like a healthy environment, like for them, regardless of like what's like going on with me, you know. And if I need to take a half day off, I need to do that. Or if I need to, I don't know. Does that make sense?
I think that's,
it's been like a personal journey as much as it's been like, you know, growing a business or whatever.
No, man, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think you speak to a lot of what a lot of dads wrestle with sometimes is, you know, I think it, you were talking about marriage. I think it's the same way with just being a dad. You know, it kind of, it's a magnifier on a lot of stuff. You realize that a lot of the crap that maybe you don't deal with, you're passing down to your kids. And it's a really thing to be mindful of. And, you know, and kind of what you're doing up there, starting this new thing, bringing your family into it, having them be a part of it. It's like you said, it's that, it shows you what's really there. And it shows you the stuff
better
make sure you deal with now. And I think the more aware we can become of that and the quicker we can become aware of that, the better, you know, it's the quicker we can change things. But you know, if we don't deal with that stuff, we don't wrestle with it, then it, you know, again, we pass it down to our kids, whether we want to or not.
For sure. You know, for me, it's like, I live there, you know? So it's like, if I'm just inside the house and I look outside, I'm like, oh man, like,
yep,
somebody needs to go clean that screen, or like, what's up with that, you know? And then it's like, like, you feel like, I've had to just try to do better. I'm not perfect. I'm working on it, but just like try to have some like boundaries around it. Like when I'm done for the day, like I'm done, you know,
for sure.
And just try to be present. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're teaching, you know, sometimes the eyes of small children, and we talked off air, your kids are all younger than six. And I think what you said, it really resonated with me personally, that if you're stressed out all the time, you're teaching that this is not fun. And, you know, you're sitting here running a business and yeah, it's work, but they should be seeing that, you know, my dad's able to enjoy what God's blessed us with. And they're seeing that day in and what you're trying to do with your mission. And I think that's part really cool. And I'm sure they love helping around doing some of that stuff out there too. I can only imagine growing up in the outside every day.
Yeah, for sure. I just felt like too, man, like I felt like months ago, like I just felt like God asked me, he was like, man, do you want to live in the best of both worlds or the worst of both worlds? You know, and the worst of both worlds being, I'm in this crazy business and it's all on me to like make it happen. You know, like that would be the worst. Like I should just go do something else, you know? Or it's like, dude, like this is amazing. Like look at how far God's brought us. Like look at what he's doing. Look at the community he's built. Like, but it's all like, you know, it's like that verse, like be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Doesn't say work harder. Doesn't say try harder. It says it's all up here, dude. Yep. Like, and that's been the biggest like battle for me. It's just like the mental game, you know? And yeah, I think about 6 months ago, I started like reading these like declarations every day of just like who I am in God. And it sounds so silly, simple, basic, but it, I'm like, dude, I need the simple basics like every single day, you know, like yeah. It's so easy for me to get just like, yeah, go ahead.
It really sounds like this whole process for you. And I think you said 5 years now, around 5 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is like our fifth year.
So this process has really kind of made you into who you are as a man and as a father and as a husband is what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. Like, dude, if tomorrow, like, it all went to hell and I had to go do something else, I would truly be like, wow, like, all that was, like, for my own, like, personal development. And just that alone, because, like, the fish can come and go, but, like, you know, I got to live with myself and my family's got to live with me. And, you know, I got to stand before God one day, you know, and he put this whole situation in my path because he loves me and he wants to see me like become like who was in his mind when he created me, you know, and wow, like that's something to be thankful for, you know? So just trying to keep that train of thought more present than the negative stuff.
Yeah, man, for sure. Well, Ty, this has been awesome, dude. We've had a blast learning a little bit more about what you do up there. And then, too, man, it's just been really encouraging to hear your story and how God's been using it to make an impact on your life, the impact he's made on your family.
I do want to say super quick, people can order trout. We ship it right to your door.
Yeah. Yeah, we were going to give you that opportunity. We weren't going to go away without that, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we want to make sure people understand if they want to get their hands on some of this incredible product, these amazing trout, you know, in the cleanest of water that are way better than most of the stuff you're going to get in a lot of farm-raised areas, how can they do that? Where should they go?
All right, smokingchimneys.com. We got our trout boxes. We got fresh trout, smoked trout, the smoked trout cakes we just came out with. They're ridiculous.
They look incredible.
We ship out stuff every Monday. You can order online. Bang, we'll box it up, ship it right to your door, ice packs. Ready to rock, baby.
Love it, man. Yeah, and so for all you catch and release only guys that actually want to eat good trout, this is a great way to do that, to get your hands on some of that stuff.
Shamelessly. Yeah.
Trout without having
to. You can eat one of these trout, and you can have your Sims hat on, and it's all good, dude.
Exactly.
There you go. Exactly. And if people are in the area, just where is your place in reference to maybe like a major interstate or just if people are traveling?
Yeah, so we're about 45 minutes from Roanoke, Virginia, which is about Southwest Virginia. You know, we're about 3 hours from Richmond, about 4 hours from Washington, D.C. But like I said, we got our big tour May 19th. Double check me on it's on the website under tours. And then, yeah, dude, the Airbnb is available like anytime. Come hang, check it out, feed the trout. Yeah, love to have you.
Learn some cool stuff.
Well, Ty, man, I'm just so glad this has finally happened. Now that we've talked, we're definitely going to have to get on the water together somewhere. I know it's hard for you to get away, but maybe we can sneak up there and find you. We could bring a boat and float that river with you and your dad. That would be a cool day. And
dude, heck yeah. I want to get I told Dad about you guys like months ago, and he's like, dude, line it up. Let's get down there. You know, so
we got to make it.
I don't know. We need to try to get down there. Yeah, for sure.
Either way, we want to come up, check the place out for sure. It just sounds incredible. I encourage people to go check it out. You know, even if you're not looking to buy fish to eat or something, go to the website, smokingchimneys.com, just to see the cool. I think the historical side of it all is really interesting and intriguing.
And he mentioned like buying the trout. He's got the directions on how to prepare them, how to cook them. That's all on the website. And I will say, like, my man Ty, he's got some, whoever did his like marketing pictures, like he comes off looking like a pretty stellar model, man. Like it's some of his stuff's pretty sweet.
Somebody said what did she say? She was like, yeah, if the trout thing doesn't work out, Ty, you can be a model. And I was like, I don't know what I said, but yeah. Well, dude, that's the thing, man. And I want to say really quick, like, people are like, man, like the website, wow. And it's like, people don't realize at the end of the day, like, we're selling cold, raw, dead fish. Like, you've got to add all the value around that, you know, just because, like, by itself, I mean, it's not like you're selling, you know.
Yeah, putting a bunch of pictures of this dead fish on the web, you know. Yeah, you gotta market it the right way.
Yeah, dude, great. Yeah, for sure.
Well, Ty, man, this has been awesome. We really appreciate you hanging out with us tonight, and thanks for being a part of this community.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, man. Thanks, everyone, for checking out this episode. And until next time, tight lines. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dads on Fly podcast. We hope this conversation has inspired or encouraged you as a parent or an angler.
To learn more about Dads on the Fly, you can find us at dadsonthefly.com or at Instagram or Facebook at Dads on the Fly.
Yeah, we'd always love it if you leave us a rating or review, as it helps get our word out about the podcast. And if you like this episode, make sure to shoot a message and share it with a friend.